Well, brother, we just came through the spring holy days, the days of unleavened bread, where we pictured the Israelites coming out of Egypt, which pictures sin. And I was thinking this week, you know, what would the Israelites be going through the week after the holy days? On the first holy day, we heard Mr. Rigor talk about the excitement and the anticipation that the Israelites must have felt as they were leaving Egypt after 400 years of captivity. And then on the last day of unleavened bread, we pictured the day that they would have crossed over the Red Sea with walls of water 300 or 400 feet high. I almost picture it like walking down the streets of Manhattan with 30 or 40 story buildings on either side and the wonderment that that must have been. And then in Exodus 15, chapter 15, we read about Miriam and the celebration of how the Egyptians were drowned and killed in the sea, and that wonderful, exuberant event that took place and the celebration that took place afterwards. But as you go on into chapter 15, things start to go downhill, as you would say. The Israelites begin to murmur. They didn't have water to drink. Then in the Exodus 16, things go downhill even further. If you would, please turn over to Exodus 16 and verse 1, and that's where we'll start this morning, where things begin to go downhill, so to speak, even worse than they had. Believe it or not, after seeing the miracles that God had brought them through, the Israelites weren't happy and began to murmur. Exodus 16 and verse 1, when they journeyed from Elam, the entire company of Israelites came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their exodus from the land of Egypt. The entire company of Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron in the desert. And the Israelites said to them, if we only had died, I mean, this is like, you know, we're not only hungry, but the drama that goes with the language here. If we had only died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, you know, it's like barking puppies. And we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out to this desert to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather the amount for each day so that I may test them. Will they, walk in my law or not? And dropping down into verse number 31, the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed and was white, and it tasted like wafers of honey. The purpose of this sermon, brethren, is to examine four spiritual lessons that we can draw from the physical manna God gave Israel. The first thing we need to recognize from the lesson of manna that God gave Israel was that we need spiritual manna. God gave physical Israel physical manna, but we in our lives every day, we need spiritual manna. Turn to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 13. We'll read about how God gave that the physical manna to the physical Israelites every day. In the evening, the quail would come and cover the camp, and in the morning, a layer of dew was all around the camp. Verse 14, when the layer of dew had evaporated, there on the surface of the desert was a thin, flaky substance, thin like frost on the earth. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Or what's it? Because they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you for food. Brethren, we not only need physical food, but we need spiritual food every day from God. And we get that spiritual food through Bible study and prayer. In Luke 21, verses 34 through 36, if you'll turn there, Luke 21, 34 through 36, it talks about these last days that we're living in. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. But be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day close down upon you suddenly like a trap. Verse 35, for it will overtake all who live on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36 says, but stay alert at all times, praying, at all times praying, that you may have strength to escape all these things that must happen and to stand before the Son of Man. So each and every day, brethren, we need to be studying and praying that we're going to be worthy, not only to escape the physical calamities that we're going to come upon this earth, but to be worthy to stand in front of God and be awarded a crown to be a king or a priest in His kingdom. The second lesson that we can draw from the physical manna that God gave Israel is the need to be obedient to God's word and instruction. The need to be obedient to God's word and instruction. Going back to Exodus chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 16, we read about what God commanded and how He commanded that that manna be gathered each and every day. And of course, as human nature was, the Israelites didn't listen. It was almost as if God said white, they were going to say black. But Exodus chapter 16 and verse 16, this is what the Lord has commanded. Each person is to gather from it what he can eat, an omer, which is about a quart. If you have a quart jar, you can picture about how much that would have been. Per person, according to the number of your people. Each one will pick it up for whoever lives in his tent. The Israelites did so, and they gathered some more, some less. When they measured with an omer, the one who gathered much had nothing left over, and the one who gathered little lacked nothing. Each one gathered what he had could eat. And Moses instructed them and said to them, no one is to keep it, any of it, until morning. But of course, they did not listen, verse 20, to Moses. Some kept part of it till morning, and it was full of worms and began to stink, and Moses was angry with them. So they were disobedient. And we can learn from that, when God says to do something, that we need to be obedient. And we see the results of disobedience in our society every day. I mean, just look at the society around us, what the result of disobedience to God's law has been. If you'll turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 14. We'll skip ahead when the Israelites wanted a king. They no longer wanted to be judged. And this is the instruction that God gave them about having a king. If you fear the Lord, serving Him and obeying Him, so obeying the Lord, not rebelling against what He has said, and if you both, you and the king who rules over you, follow the Lord of God, all will be well. As you can see in our society, all is not well because of the disobedience of the people and the leadership of this current society. Lesson number three that we can draw from the physical manna, brethren, and apply it to the spiritual lives that we live. Number three, we need to make sure that we do no servile work on the Sabbath. We need to make sure that we do no servile work on the Sabbath. Exodus 16 and verse 22, turning back to the chapter about manna. Exodus 16 and verse 22, and on the sixth day they gathered twice as much food. They gathered two omers, which is two quarts per person. And all the leaders of the community came and told Moses. Verse 23, he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a time of cessation from work, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Whatsoever you want to bake, bake today, which is the preparation day, Friday. Whatever you want to boil, boil today, the preparation day. Whatever is left, put aside for yourselves to be kept until morning. So So he put it aside until the morning, just as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Verse 25, Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the area. 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." And on the seventh day, here again, the contrarians, the Israelites, on the seventh day, some of them went out to gather it, but they found nothing. So the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to obey my commandments and my instructions? See, because the Lord has given you the Sabbath, that is why he is giving you food for 2 days. On the sixth day, on Friday, each of you stay where you are and let no one go out of this place on the seventh day." So, brethren, God expects us to use the preparation day to prepare for the Sabbath, just as the Israelites would prepare by gathering twice as much manna. God expects us to plan and prepare not only for the physical Sabbath, but it's more of a spiritual principle that we are to be planning and preparing ourselves for the kingdom of God. We need to be using the preparation day in our spiritual lives to prepare for that kingdom. Leviticus 23 and verse 3, we read the commandment, or one of the commandments. First it was in Exodus, but then reiterated in Leviticus 23. 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there must be a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy assembly. You must not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all places where you live. The fourth lesson, brethren, that we can draw from the physical manna that God gave the Israelites, our spiritual manna, is that we need to teach our children God's word and instruction. We need to teach our children God's word and instruction. It was so important to God that His law and His word be taught that He told Aaron to take some of the manna and put it in a pot and put it in the tabernacle. So going back to Exodus chapter 16 again, Exodus chapter 16, verse 32, Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for generations to come, so that they may see the food or God's instruction, God's word. I fed you in the desert when I brought you out from the land of Egypt." In verse 33, Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer full of manna and place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it in the testimony for safekeeping." God has promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. And of course, one of these ways is that our children have a calling to be a part of God's way in His life. And although God can call as many people as He wants, I'm sure that part of His plan is to have future generations be a part of His church. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, we read about what God commands us about how to teach our children and when to teach our children. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. "These words I am commanding you today and must be kept in mind, and you must teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit down in your house, as you walk along the road, as you lie down, and as you get up. You should tie them as a reminder on your forearm and fasten them as symbols on your forehead. Inscribe them on the door frames of your houses and gates." So, brethren, in conclusion, we've gone through the days of unleavened bread, and now we're on the other side of the Red Sea, so to speak. And now we begin our wandering in the spiritual wilderness of this world. Brethren, let us not make the mistakes the physical Israelites did with the physical manna, but instead let's remember the spiritual lessons of the spiritual manna God has given us for today.